Living life can be difficult, can't it? I think of this weekend and just trying to get meals together. The basic things in life sometimes can be difficult. But just life in general, going to school, going to a job, life can just be difficult and hard. You know, in addition to that, what we were talking about last week is that we live in a hostile society also. Hostile in terms of being a believer, a follower of Jesus Christ. In case you haven't noticed, that is part of our life experience also. Let me ask you this. How do you make it as a Christian? It's difficult enough living life, but then you throw in the fact that the devil doesn't want you to experience a full life. There's difficulties in relationships. There's difficulties all over the place. How do you live as a Christian in a fallen world? What do you have to know? What must you understand in order to walk closely with God? What do you have to avoid? We're continuing in a series, and this series is entitled Living in 2004. Now, it's interesting, the character we're looking at today lived about 2,500 years ago, but the principles that he followed are the same ones that you and I must follow if we're going to live in our society. Living in 2004, living our society. We're looking today at Daniel chapter 1, and we're going to look at verses 8 through 21, and it's on page 625. For those of you that might not have a Bible and would like to follow along, and I encourage you to do this, go to page 625 in the blue Bibles, and you can follow right along, and you'll be right with us. Let's talk a little bit about last week. Daniel 1, 1 to 7. And we talked about the world we live in. What do we need to know about the world we live in? And what we saw is as Daniel and his friends were taken 1,200 miles away to a foreign society, really to a hostile society, we saw some things in those first seven verses that we have to understand about living in our society. The world, first of all, doesn't think the same way that you do. That's why the king asked them to go into a program. He says, we want you to understand our literature, our learning. We want you to embrace those things. So it doesn't think the same way. It doesn't act the same way. And we talked about this in relation to the food that they were to have and the customs they were to follow and to understand. And finally, we saw that the world doesn't worship in the same way. What did they do with their names? They changed them all. Their names in Hebrew represented God and Jehovah and the God we follow. And what they did is they changed them to Babylonian names. And we looked at those names and said, wow, all these names follow all these weird, strange, foreign gods. That's where we left them last week. But what we saw is that we need to understand that our world does not think, act, or worship the same way we do. Now, we're not to be odd and strange, but we are to know what and how to act in our society. And so today, we're going to go from verses 8 through 21, and we're going to look at a couple of keys that will help us understand what you need to know about living in our world, what you need to understand. So we're going to continue on now in verse 8, 1 through 7 last week. What do you need to know in order to live in our world? Before I even start this morning, before Ben puts anything up there, what do we need to know? If you know the story of Daniel in chapter 1 now, we're going to take him all the way through. What do you think you need to know about the world? What do you have to have in your life if you're going to live in a way that not honors the world necessarily, but honors God? I heard faith. I think that's a key element. Absolutely. Appreciate that. prayer. I heard integrity. Very good. Very good. Write those down and we're done. Now, somebody else is going to say something? Faithfulness to God. Purpose. Very good. By the way, in terms of purpose, the ladies next Sunday morning will begin a 7-week series based on Rick Warren's Purpose-Driven Life. Edwina Close is going to be teaching that at 9 o'clock next door. You'll have an outline. It's done through video teaching. I've been doing a small group with some men on Wednesday nights, and we've had a great time. So ladies, 9 o'clock next Sunday morning, and this is some good stuff. You'll enjoy it. All right. You have mentioned some great things. In fact, you can add that to the end of the message notes. But let's see what Daniel did. What did Daniel have to function in his society? Verse 8 says, after they changed their names, then we skip to verse 8. But Daniel resolved not to what? Defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself in that way. Now, you have to ask this question. What does it mean to defile himself? And why would he even ask a request like this? I mean, this is kind of a strange request. You're in a foreign land. My goodness, you better eat what's set before you or you're going to starve. And yet Daniel had some conviction and purpose in his life, and he didn't. Well, let me suggest a couple of things, and you may know these. There were certain dietary regulations that God had given, and he gave those to the Jews. And one of them probably was, well, we know what one of them was. It had to do with eating pork. They were just not supposed to do that. And it is very likely that one of the foods that was consistently set before them was pork. So Daniel knew the Old Testament, and Daniel said, you know, I can't eat that in good conscience before God. That may have been part of it, but I think there may have been something else that we don't know about, and maybe you don't know about. Probably this meat and some of this food that they were going to eat was offered to idols. All the idols that we were talking about last week. And Daniel, in his conscience, in his mind, had a problem with that. And he said, I don't want to eat meat that has been offered to idols. That was a conviction of his heart. I just don't want to do that. Now, it's amazing about that. Daniel had this conviction. We know from the New Testament, if we go into 1 Corinthians, it's not a problem. You can eat meat offered to idols. It's nothing. It has nothing to do with anything from the New Testament. But for Daniel, what he had of God's Word at that point, he didn't want to do it. And you have to respect him for that. I'm not going to eat that meat. And so he resolved and he purposed in his heart and he prayed about this decision. And then he did something that was pretty amazing. All right. Let me say this then, on your outline then. First of all, you survive. We can keep going here. There we go. What I'm going to do is say you survive, and then we're going to have 3 points this morning, so I hope we can follow that with me. You survive by having, number one, biblical convictions. And we see that in verse 8. What I tried to explain to you was what is behind Daniel's choices concerning meat, pork, and things like that. He understood, he knew God's word well enough to say, I can't do that in good conscience. And so I'm going to draw a personal conviction based on God's word, not on my opinion, not on my likes or dislikes, to what I'm doing. So Daniel knew God's word. Now, how old was Daniel? What was his age group at this point? About age what to what? Very good. 15 to 20 would be a good range. So if you're between 15 and 20 years old, this guy's talking to you directly this morning. The rest of us are watching, and the rest of us are learning too. But he had biblical convictions. He knew what God's Word said, especially about dietary things. There's many other things that he will know too. So it's very interesting to look at verses in the Old Testament and New Testament where one prophet, Daniel, is looking at another prophet's writing, Jeremiah. And I'm going to show you one of those this morning So, and the point of this verse I'm going to show you is that Daniel studied God's Word. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 2, if we could bring that up on the PowerPoint, says this. If you turn to chapter 9 and verse 2, but it says this. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the Scriptures. Now, he didn't have the New Testament at all. It wasn't even written at this point. And I'm guessing that God's Word was absolutely invaluable in those days, but he had a scroll. According to the word of the Lord, given to who? Jeremiah the prophet. So he at least had Jeremiah and the book of Jeremiah, or a portion of it, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. Now the point here, as we continue on past chapter 7, is we get into some very prophetical sections in chapters 8 through the end of the book. But you just need to know that he understood because Daniel studied God's Word. Daniel knew God's Word, and as a result of that, he drew what? Biblical convictions about what he was going to do and what he was not going to do. We don't know a lot about Daniel. We don't know a lot about his family. It is possible that he had some really good parents. And the whole process of teaching them came and started with their parents. Beyond that, he probably was involved at the synagogue and things like that before he was taken away. And one of the things as we look at today, to draw biblical convictions, as parents, it's partially our responsibility. Let me say that again. It is primarily our responsibility to teach God's Word, to interact on God's Word when the opportunity is there and when it isn't, to draw conclusions, to instruct our family, to teach our kids. That's part of our responsibility that needs to be done. He did this. You know what? Today we have a church. We don't have a synagogue in the same way. There are synagogues, but in our situation here, we have a church. And one of the things I'm grateful for is the youth ministry and Scott Benjamin in this church. And teaching, and I know because I've seen enough of his outlines and things like that, and Scott really takes it seriously to teach God's Word to our young people. And I appreciate you, Scott, and we don't say that enough, but I do, and I know many others do in here. God bless you. Starts with parents, continues with the youth group in our society today. Takes all of these things together to help people come to draw biblical convictions. And knowledge of God's Word to develop godly convictions. You've got to have it. It can't just be a Sunday morning experience. This is important. This is invaluable. It is. But it just cannot be a Sunday morning experience. It's got to be something beyond that. Hence, we have small groups meeting through the week, on Sunday morning also, that you need to find and you need to seek out so that you can draw biblical convictions like Daniel. It's not going to happen if you don't make it happen. You've got to make it happen. You've got to do it. You've got to be systematic. You've got to be faithful in the study of God's Word. On your outline then, one little statement. You must know God's Word. It's that simple. And what we're trying to do here at our church is take you from where you're at now and continue to develop and grow you through the growth track, through other classes, through small groups, that you're not supposed to stay at one place all the time. You keep moving and growing in your walk with God. Don't plateau. Keep going. Keep moving. You must know God's Word. All right. So Daniel survived. First of all, he had biblical convictions. He studied Jeremiah. At least we know that, maybe more. What else do we know? Look at verse 8 again. It says this, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. The second thing that he had to have, in other words, you survive by having courage. Second thing, you can have all the biblical convictions you want in the world, but if you don't have courage, it's not going to mean a thing. Daniel did something here that was amazing, that was incredibly difficult, and that was very hard. He walked in After everybody had eaten and everything, he walked up to the guy who was in charge of the food. And he walked over to him and said, you know what, I need to talk to you about something. And we don't exactly know this conversation. We get a little of it in this chapter. But he's sitting in front of some of the finest food that's available. But he says, I got a problem with this. You need to understand something. In my country, in the God that I follow, the Almighty God, Jehovah God, there are some things that I cannot do. And he says, I cannot eat this meat. Now, did that take courage? Yes, because one, he's actually got it pretty good at this point, folks. He really does. He goes to a foreign land. He's put in the best training program for the sharpest individuals in the nation. And now he's saying, I can't eat the food. They could have said, hey, buddy, you're out of here. Ah, what's another Hebrew? Whoop, he's out of here and gone. He didn't, though. They didn't. Well, we'll see why. God had his hand on him. But he had courage. Come on, he's 17, maybe 18. He's not 30 or 40. He's 17 years old, and he had courage to stand up for his biblical convictions. It's an amazing thing he did. Could have done some other things. He could have said, you know what? Do I really need to mess with all this biblical conviction stuff? Come on. Who cares if I eat pork? He says, look, the king is given a command. I need to do that, and I'm going to kind of set the Bible on hold, what I know of God's word. He could have done that. Maybe it wouldn't have been so bad. I don't know. But he didn't. Daniel didn't do that. The other thing he could have done, which happens, is, yeah, I'm in Babylon. No parents, no nothing. I'm going to go for it and do whatever I want. Come on. I remember those days. I remember going to college, no parents. They're not around anymore. They get 18 years with you guys. And then you got to make choices. He said, man, I'm in Babylon. Party hardy. Nobody's going to see. Couple of friends, they don't care, maybe. You see what he's going through here? I'm sure he went through some of that turmoil. What we know of Daniel, though, is Daniel said, no, I'm not going to defile myself. I'm going to go in, I'm going to explain what's going on, and I'm going to see what happens. That's what Daniel did. The second thing you have to have in this world is you've got to have courage. You need courage for your convictions. You can have as many convictions about whatever you believe in your life, but if you're not willing to stand up or do something about them, why have biblical convictions? Why even do that? Daniel did. This man, this young man, is an amazing young man, what he did in the royal court. Went in there and took care of that. Think about that. Need courage. You've got to have biblical convictions, but that's not enough, folks. It is not enough. You've got to have the courage to stand up for them when the time comes. That's tough in Daniel's day. Is that tough today? Let's say it again. Is that tough today? Amen, it is. It's tough for high schoolers. It's tough for young adults, old adults. It is tough stuff. But if you're going to live in this society, and handle it, you've got to have that. Now, I told you last week, I couldn't see. Guess what? I went to the ophthalmologist, and I need to wear reading glasses. So you're going to see this. Hopefully, I can actually see what I'm reading now. I've been memorizing the text for years now. I just don't forget that. All right, here we go. Verses 9 through 14. All right, now God, let's see what happens. This is the final need. Now God had caused the official to show favor and sympathy to Daniel. That was very good. Daniel, God was working. But the official told Daniel, okay, I understand your story. I am afraid of my lord, the king, who has assigned your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other men your age? The king of heaven would then have my head because of you. All right, so now, this is actually the plot thickens at this point. So he goes in, talks to the head man, and the head man says, wait a minute, you need to understand that if you're looking not as good as all the other people in this program, there's going to be some problems. And it's going to involve me and losing my head. I don't want to do that. That's how serious this was. He couldn't be looking gaunt or thin or whatever. Couldn't be looking that way. And so they had this ongoing discussion. All right? Daniel, verse 11, then said to the guard whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. All right, so the chief guy said, man, I'm not sure what to do with this. So he appointed a guard to be over these individuals. And so look what Daniel does now. Verse 12, please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. All right, he says, what we're going to do now is we're going to have a trial period, and we don't want all this nice meat and all that stuff. We just want vegetables and water. Will you do that? And then he says this, Daniel, then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food. And treat your servants in accordance with what you see. All right, so now what we're going to do is we're going to try this. Vegetables and water. Let's do it for a period of time. And then let's evaluate what is going on. Let me just say this. Daniel is absolutely brilliant at this point. And he shows us something that we must understand about living in this world. Here's a problem with looking at a Bible and just doing Bible study without application. We get good facts. Here's the facts of this case. I can't eat this food. Okay, let's try something else. Those are the historical facts. And the problem is, we read this story year in and year out. And I love this story. I do. But how am I supposed to take that story and make it live with me today? That's our problem. So anytime I have to face food issues, I can use Daniel 1. Well, folks, let me tell you what. I pretty much eat whatever I want and like it all. So that's just not going to handle it. What we need to do, though, is we need to find the universal principle that's up here that applies both to Daniel and applies both to us today. That's what makes the Bible live. That's why I got into this. It's not just to teach history lessons. I love history. I love biblical history. But this is an amazing thing he did. All right, third point here. You survive by having, look at this, not the food you eat. You've got to have creative alternatives. That's what lives today. That's what Daniel did. That's what we take from it today. If you're going to survive in society today, you're going to have to be able to have creative alternatives. And that's exactly what Daniel did. That is a universal principle that comes out of this story. Problem is, we miss it, and I've missed it for years. We look at the food, and the food's a good example, but this is what lives today. Creative alternatives. All right. We need to be creative. Some people say, I'm not very creative. I can't do these. Yes, you can. And you're going to find yourselves in situations that you're going to need to use creative alternatives. Daniel did, and this is one of the best examples in the whole Bible of it. He says, I can't eat this. It goes against my walk with God. But I'll tell you what, let me try something else that doesn't go against my walk with God. And that's what he does for us. He models a creative alternative. In order to do this, let me tell you what, you need to be walking with God. You do. You need to be walking with God in your life. You need to be pretty close to Him, because what's going to happen are a series of instances that come into your life where you're going to need wisdom how to handle a creative alternative and when to use it. So you better be walking with God, first of all. And what do we know about Daniel? How many times did Daniel pray to God? 3 times a day. We're going to see that in another couple of weeks. This man walked with God, and when these things came into his life, he was walking with God, and he had relationship, and God blessed him. If you're not walking with God, don't expect this. The other thing I would say about this is if you're always having to use creative alternatives, you're hanging with the wrong group. You are. If you always have to rationalize what you believe and what you think and try and come up with creative alternatives, get away from those people. They're not helping you. They're dragging you down. I think that's another thing we can look at. All right. What exactly did he do? One way to find creative alternatives is we need people with a little more experience in our church. And I'm talking about older people. They have lived life and experienced a number of circumstances and situations. And if they've walked with God, they've come up with some creative alternatives to deal with situations. And that's why a church needs a balance of all age groups. We need folks that have had to deal with this, that can help and mentor and teach others and do that. That's such a neat thing to be able to hear how they've handled that. All right, now, what we're going to do now is go down a rabbit trail on this thought. Now, are there times when you cannot use creative alternatives, where you must stand up for a biblical conviction? Yes. Look at Daniel chapter 3, verse 1. We're going to be there in a couple of weeks. See, Daniel, in this situation, used a creative alternative. Give me some different food. In Daniel 3, there was some big idol, and the king said, everybody's got to worship it. Did Daniel and his friends bow down and worship that idol? No, they did not. They did not use a creative alternative then. You've got to be aware that there are times that Daniel did not use a creative alternative. But in this story, we see it. There are times that you cannot use creative alternatives. Here we go, bottom of your outline. Ask yourself this. Here's kind of a guide on this whole idea of creative alternatives. Ask yourself, all right, in whatever the person's asking you to do, what is the person trying to get me to do? All right, what is this person trying to get me to do? What do they want me to follow when they're asking me to do something? What is their, write the word goal, G-O-A-L. What is their goal for me in what they are trying to get me to do? Okay? What is their goal? Now let me tell you this. If the goal is sinful, if it is illegal, if it is immoral, then you don't do it. Sinful, illegal, and immoral, you don't do it. Okay? You don't do it. All right. This is tough. And I think most of you can probably relate to a situation like this. We're almost to the last point there. We'll get to it in a minute. I'm still back up here on this one. Thanks. What is this person trying to get me to do? If it's sinful, if it's illegal, if it's not moral, breaking the Ten Commandments, you cannot do it. You cannot use a creative alternative at that point. You've got to stand up for your biblical conviction. All right. So high school, I'm a senior. And for 4 years, I've been playing golf with four guys, and we go to district qualifying. And you know what? We play very good golf that particular day, and we win our district, which allows us to qualify for state. And we qualified for state by winning our district title. We go to state, and we actually do pretty well at state. And we had a great time. I've been playing golf for 4 years, actually with one guy for 7 years. And so we finished the state tournament, and the guys get together and they say, Dave, we want to go out, we want to get drunk. And I looked at him, I said, look, guys, how long have you known me? I'm not going to go do that. Now, I have a biblical conviction about going out drinking to get drunk. The Bible says, do not get drunk with wine. Period. End of discussion. That's a biblical conviction. I have it. Now, this was a hard thing because I knew these guys and they knew this about me. But they still said, come on, Metzger, you wimp. We're just going to go out and get drunk. I said, guys, I'm not going to do it. You know me. For years I've said no to this. I'm not going to do it. First of all, guys, it's illegal. You know, but more than that, I'm just not going to do it because I'm not into that stuff. That is just not cool to me. You may think it is, but it's not. They said, okay, the heck with you, Metzger, we're going. So they go, That particular night, about 10 o'clock, they show up at my front door. And they're all drunk. In fact, they ran into our mailbox and knocked it over. And it was sad. But what they did is they brought all these bags, grocery bags, of beer bottles and put them right on my porch. And they honked the horn and went driving off. And, you know, I went to the door and, you know, I just said, you know, somehow these guys know that I'm just not into this and I'm going to draw the line at this point. I'm not going to do it. It's interesting what happens in time. The coach of the golf team said about a week later, we need to all get together as families. And we're going to go to Fargo's Pizza Company. Deborah and I have been to Fargo's last summer pizza company. It's a real nice little pizza place. So he does this, and he doesn't know this has happened. One of the things I appreciated about my parents is how they handled this. And so we go there, and Jeff, and Gavin, and Jim, and Mike are all there. See, they know my parents and all this. And we go, it's a little awkward, because these guys won't even look at me. They won't even look at my parents. My dad handled this really well. They were kind of standing off to the side, and he walked over there while we were just talking. He says, you know, guys, next time you do your thing, don't leave your bottles on my porch step. I don't appreciate it. Says, appreciate you guys, and that's all he said. But that was enough. They got the message. You know what? I've seen those guys a couple of times. I graduated in 1976. Gosh, that's getting close to 30 years ago. But I've seen them. And unfortunately, one of them's been killed because he was driving drunk. Another one was killed after a party. That's unfortunate. You know, it happens. It can happen to anybody. But I appreciate what my parents did and how they supported me. Parents, you are so important in this process of doing that. Because everybody's doing it. Don't be different. Don't be a nerd. Don't be a geek. And Daniel says in Daniel 1, no. I'm going to go in there with my biblical convictions and my courage and being blessed by God and do this. And I'm going to stand up what's for right. A 17-year-old, he puts us to shame, doesn't he? Yes, he does. He does at times. All right. That's probably one of the most difficult times in my life. As a pastor, I have to deal with this kind of stuff. All these preconceived ideas about pastors, you just live with that. That was probably one of the most difficult things because I knew those guys. And we had a great time, and we're good today. I've seen the other, there's a couple of them that are still alive, fortunately, and we've talked a little bit. What is a person trying to get me to do? If it's illegal, sinful, if it breaks a biblical conviction, you can't use a creative alternative. Don't do it. On the other hand, the last statement, if the goal is not sinful, use a creative alternative. You can do that. If it's not, and you still don't want to do whatever they're asking, this is where you've got to be in walking with God, faithful to Him, following Him. You can use a creative alternative. And I can't tell you what all those are. Part of that has to do with living life and experiencing life and going from there. All right, let's see what happened then with Daniel. Continuing on in verse 15, to these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning. And Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. Interesting, when Daniel went through this process, what's happening now? God's blessing him. I can't guarantee that God will bless you if you stand up for it. You may go through some stuff, some criticism, but I'll tell you what, in this passage, in this chapter, God blessed him. I believe that is part of what could happen. At the end of the time, set by the king to bring them in, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar, Mr. King. 19. The king talked with them, and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. So they entered the king's service. And look what happened to them. In every manner of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them how many times better? That's God's blessing. 10 times better than all the magicians, the enchanters in his whole kingdom. And Daniel remained there until the first year of King Cyrus. Folks, one of the neatest stories in the Bible, hopefully this morning, as it has for me this past week, hopefully it lives a little more for you than it has in the past. It's not just about food and about not eating food. It's much more than that. It's about following what Daniel did. To live in our world, then, you've got to have courage, biblical convictions, and you must walk close with God so that there are times when you can use creative alternatives. Amen? Thank you, Lord, for this time this morning. Thank you for this great example that you have given to us. We praise you for that. Lord, I pray especially for the young people this morning. This is a 17-year-old, and we've got a good group of high schoolers in this church, and I pray that you'll give them the courage, the biblical convictions to live in a way that honors you. It's not easy. There's peer pressure. There's a pressure to do what everybody's doing. But God, how I pray that you will strengthen them. Help them to walk close with you so when they face those times, when they have to say no, they can say no. Beyond that, they can be creative. Pray for those of us that are a few years out of high school. You'll give us the courage, the conviction, and the creative alternatives to walk with you in a way that honors you. Lord, we thank you and we love you. Thank you for this story. This is just so helpful. Lord, I thank you we can give to you. We do that because we love you. In Jesus' name. Amen.